You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Here's what we're learning. We're learning that all of us are powerful people. And the reason why we're all powerful is because words are powerful. And all of us speak words. And so we're glad that you're here. I want to welcome you to New Point. We're in this series called My Big Fat Mouth, and we're learning a whole bunch of stuff. We're learning that my words determine the direction of my life. We're learning that words can destroy my relationships. We're also learning that my words display my heart. It really lets you know what's going on in my heart. And so words are powerful. They're powerful. And we need to be able to understand that. We need to be able to embrace that truth. And so we're learning that you and I need to be able to begin to manage our mouth, because of those words that are so powerful, that can bring life or can bring death to those in our life. Matter of fact, our words determine the level of success that we have. They determine the quality of our relationships. And they also determine the direction that our life ends up going. Now, James told us, and we learned this last week, that your tongue and my tongue is untamable. Okay, so it's not a matter of if we're going to stick our foot in our mouth. It's just a matter of when we're going to do that. And so here's what we've learned. Because of that, we need to listen first. And we need to talk less. And if we'll listen first and talk less, it's an amazing thing how you and I can be able to experience a sense of calmness in our life. Now, you would think, if I'm teaching this, I have mastered this, but I haven't. All you have to do is talk to Patty or Caleb or Sarah or Nate or Jonathan or Ben, and you will find very, very quickly that I'm still on a learning curve. And we all are, because it's just hard. It's difficult. It's very, very challenging. And though I'm recognizing the power of our words, And I'm surrendering my heart to God, and I want to be able to guard my mouth and my heart, and I want to be able to confess and own it when I do stick my foot in my mouth. It's a continual learning process for all of us. It never, never ends. It reminds me of a story of a monk who was in a monastery, and he got put on probation. And they said, you know what? We're not going to allow you to say a word all year long. And so that was his quote-unquote discipline or punishment. And it would come to the end of the year, and they would tell this monk, you can say two words, that's it. And so after the first year, he said, bed hard. And that was it. He said, okay. They put him back in his cell. The second year, he came back and they said, what do you have to say? Food cold. Okay, and so they put him back in his cell, and it came back to that third year of probation, and he said, I quit. The head priest said, doesn't surprise me. All you've done since you've been here is complain. You see, what happens is it doesn't take a lot of words. It can take just a few words. And so today, what I want us to do is I want us to look at the Apostle Paul, because he's gonna give us some straight talk. Now, the Apostle Paul was one who encountered Jesus Christ, and it transformed his life. And I imagine when you end up learning more and more about him, that he had quite a mouth on him. And yet, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it transformed him, and it transformed him so much that it changed the way in which he talked. changed the way in which he related to people. And so we want to look at that today. But before we do that, I want to bring us back to the prayer that I encourage you to pray every single morning. And it's this right here. And no doubt the Apostle Paul would pray this prayer. He would say, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord." The words of my mouth, what I'm saying, and the meditation of my heart, my thoughts that I allow to reside in my heart, may both of those be pleasing to you so that I can begin to manage my mouth in a way that honors you. And so Paul was one who experienced Christ and it transformed him. And in the book of Ephesians, he's writing a letter to a group of people who at one time, of course, did not know Christ. And now they know Christ, but he's addressing them about their words, about their talk. And he's talking to a group of people and he's really giving them straight talk. And so let's look at this. This is in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. And here's what he says. "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." Now here's what you need to understand, okay? He's talking to a group of Christ followers. And you may be here today and you may not be a Christ follower. And so really, this does not pertain to you. If you're a Christ follower, it does pertain to you and you and I will give an account for it. Now, if you're not a Christ follower, don't check out on me because you can still learn from this because you might want to try this at home or you might want to try this at your workplace because it's good, practical stuff. But he's literally talking to people who have chosen to follow Christ. And so he says, "I tell you this and I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." Here's what he's saying to them. He's saying you must renounce your mindset. You must renounce your mindset. He's saying you cannot have the same mindset. You cannot have the same worldview. You cannot have the same thinking pattern that you used to have. Because it was just wrong. It's not the way in which you were called to think. And so he's reminding them, before you knew Christ, before you were following Christ, you used to think a certain way. You had a certain mindset. You had a way in which you reflected and a way in which you responded. And he says, "I'm insisting on you that you do not continue down that path. That you do not continue to think in the futility of the mind of a Gentile." Now, he's making observations here, and we have to understand that. And he goes on to say this. He says, "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God." He's saying they're not Christ followers because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. And so again, now, you need to understand that Paul is shooting straight. And he's letting these people know, you used to live that way, and you need to renounce that mindset. And he's telling them why. And he's reminding them of the people that no doubt live among them and why they think the way that they think and why they respond the way in which they respond. He goes on to say this about them. He says, "Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." Wow. What he is saying is that they don't have sensitivity. They don't have sensitivity. They don't have a self-awareness. And that now that you have come to follow Christ, you have a different mindset. You have a different way of thinking. And Paul, again, here is, you might say this sounds pretty harsh, but really Paul is just giving an observation that he sees among the people that don't know Christ, that haven't experienced the life of God. And he says three things. He says, one, they have no sensitivity. And basically what he is saying here is that they're unaware. They don't even know that there's another way of thinking. They don't even know that there's another way of responding. And he says that there's no standard, that they're giving themselves to every kind of impurity, that there's no standard in how they relate or how they respond to one another. And then he says there's no strength. And he says they're full of greed, which conveys that they have no self-control. And so Paul is talking to this group of Christ followers, and he is saying, listen, you need to renounce your old mindset, your old way of thinking. You cannot think like the Gentiles do. You cannot think how you used to think or how you used to live. And he goes on and he says this, that's, however, is not the way of life you have learned when you heard about Christ. See, he's saying, that's the way that you used to think. That's the way you used to respond. But now, that is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ. Check this out, all right? And were taught in him. Not about him, but in him. In accordance with the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And so what you have here is you have Paul saying that you need to remember your teaching. You need to remember what you've been taught in Christ. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, remember your teaching. Now, here's one of the things, okay? And I've shared this here at New Point. When somebody new comes on staff, we're going to tell them and we're going to teach them some things. Once we have taught them and once we have told them, it's now their responsibility to remember it. Y'all okay on that one? It's now their responsibility to remember it. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul is saying, hey, you know what? You need to renounce your old mindset. Don't bring your old mindset in following Jesus Christ. Because this is what we've taught you about Christ and in Christ and through Christ. And he says, so you need to remember that. You need to call back to your memory what you have learned. And what have they learned about Jesus? Well, they learned that he was kind, that he was considerate, that he was caring, that he was loving. You see, Paul here is grateful for something. Because what we have to realize, listen to me, okay? Before Jesus came to earth, women were disrespected. They were considered like an animal. So were the children. The only one who was basically valued in the world before Jesus Christ came were men. And what he was telling them is, remember your teaching. We're all valued now. Every woman is valued. Every child is valued. Ready this? Ready? Every Republican is valued. Every Democrat is valued. Every poor person is valued. Every rich person is valued. Every educated person is valued. Every uneducated person is valued. We're all valued in Christ. And what you need to understand is that all happened because of Jesus Christ. That all happened because of his teaching. Now, for you and I, we just assume that. We just take that for granted. But the people that Paul is writing here in this letter to the church in Ephesus, it wasn't their culture. It wasn't their way. And so he said, you need to renounce your old mindset. And you need to remember the teaching that you have been given. And then he goes on to say this. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. Your former way of life is that you didn't respect people. You didn't respect women. You didn't respect children. He says, to put off your old self. That's something that's renouncing your old mindset, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Wow. Now you might say, what is deceitful desires? It's something that promises one thing. It promises you one thing, but it gives you something else. That's what a deceitful desire is. You want something and you get it, but it doesn't deliver the goods. And he says, that's your old way of life. You were hoping that you would get this, but you got something else. And so he says here, put off your old self. Renounce your old mindset. Remember your teaching. Then he goes on to say this, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, in the way in which you think, that you're going to have a new attitude towards people, and the way in which you relate, and the way in which you speak, the way in which you share, and to put on a new self. Now check this out. Put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. What's he saying here? He is saying that we have to have a complete different mindset. And for you and I to be able to get there, we have to renounce the mindset of the feudal thinking. And we've got to remember the teaching that we have been taught in Christ. And we have to put off the old, and we have to put on a new attitude. And then Paul gets very, very practical. Okay, he says you need to renounce your mindset. You need to remember the teaching. And now he gets real, real practical. Here's what he says. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Wow. That's what he says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, the word unwholesome means rotten. Like rotten fruit or a rotten fish. And if you ever have experienced rotten fruit or rotten fish, it stinks, okay? It smells, it contaminates, it corrupts, okay? It doesn't create a positive atmosphere. And what he says is, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, which means that you and I have a choice here. And he's shooting very, very straight with these folks. He's saying, once you become a follower of Christ, once you begin to take off the old and put on the new attitude, it should impact your life. It should impact your words. It's going to manifest in you. And so he says here, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. What's he saying? He is saying, reject words that are unwholesome. That's what he's saying. Reject words that are unwholesome. He's saying, you know what? Think, you're a follower of Christ. How did Christ relate to you when he was on earth? What are the teachings that you've heard about Jesus? His words were not unwholesome. You know, this word unwholesome is rotten. It's like bad breath. You ever been around somebody who's had bad breath? We've all had bad breath, haven't we? Huh? Either morning breath or coffee breath. And you want to slip them a what? A mint? And just say, hey, have one. Well, you know what? What Paul is doing is he's slipping them a mint. He's saying, you know what? You don't want to have bad breath. You don't want to have unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth. You see, they all knew that they needed to tell the truth. But what he was saying is, don't let anything come out of your mouth that is distasteful, like name calling, insulting, put down, blaming. You never. You always. All right? That's what he's saying. Or griping, or complaining, or sarcasm, or threats, or manipulation, or lies, or slander, or gossip. What he is saying is, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, because it smells, it reeks, it contaminates. And so he says, reject those words. Don't allow them to come. Reject them, because you have the ability to do that. And so he goes on and he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. What's he saying here? He is saying reject unwholesome words, but release words that are wholesome. And how do you know if the words are wholesome? They're helpful. They build up. They're good. Now, I know probably what some of us are thinking. Well, that's pretty soft, Dwight. Release words that are wholesome and that are kind. Isn't that pretty nice? Isn't that soft? It sounds kind of what? Unrealistic. It sounds unproductive. How are we going to get anything done around here if we just use nice words? Well, here's what he says. He says here, do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but what is helpful. Do you know sometimes the most helpful thing that you can do is to say something very difficult? If it's going to be helpful. Sometimes the most helpful thing you can do is say the hard and difficult thing, because it's going to help them. It's going to be able to give them direction in their life. So Paul's not going soft on us when he says be helpful in saying only that which builds up. What he is saying is you need to say what is helpful in that moment. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine a construction site, okay? Imagine a construction site, and when you leave there, you're either going to be noted as a builder or as a bulldozer. You're either going to leave that construction site, and there's going to be something that you have built or something that you have destroyed. You see, every conversation that you and I are in, we're either a builder or we are a bulldozer. And what Paul is saying here is that we need to be builders. We need to be builders. And so he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their what? According to their needs. Now, this is challenging. This is so, so challenging, because you know what? I mean, let's be real here today. I want to talk about my needs. I want my voice to be heard. I want my concerns to be heard. I want my view to be heard. And Paul is saying to you and I, that's not what you've learned in Christ. Remember your teaching. Renounce your old mindset. He's saying, Dwight, he says, these conversations should be for the benefit of others, not you. That's the way you used to talk. You were always concerned about getting your way. You were always concerned about you being heard. But that's not the way of Jesus. And so he says here that we need to release words that are wholesome, that are helpful for building up others according to their needs. Then he finishes out with this, that it may benefit those who listen. Do you know everybody listens? You know, here's what I could probably do. I could probably go to your house, you could probably come to my house, and I could say, so how's your mom and dad's relationship? And they could probably give us a pretty good idea. You know why? Because they listen to us when we talk to one another. They see our exchanges with one another. And they even if they're small, they understand whether we're building one another up in the house or whether we're tearing one another down in the house. And so he says here, release words that are wholesome, that are fresh, that build up, that help, because there's other people that's listening. And then he says these powerful words. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. What's he saying here? Refuse to undermine God. You see, everybody that you speak to and everybody that I speak to, God loves. God values. Jesus died for. And one of the things that I've tried to do in leadership, though I don't do it perfectly, is when I'm leading younger people, I want to say, okay, you know what? Somebody's leading one of my kids. And I want to treat them, and I want to respond to them, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, just as I would want somebody else leading one of my kids. And I think that's what Paul was saying here. Paul is saying that God is saying, hey, they're my kids. That's my girl. That woman that you're talking to, she's my daughter. You know that man that you're talking to? He's my son. And when you don't build them up and all you do is tear them down, then what happens is you grieve my heart. You're undermining what I want to do in their life, what I have for them. And so I'm asking you to release words that are wholesome, words that are helpful, okay? Sometimes that's hard and difficult conversations, but that it will benefit them. And then he gets to the root of why we struggle with all of this, okay? Here's what he says. He says, get rid of all bitterness. Wow. Get rid of all bitterness. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about someone taking out the trash and setting it at the curb. And basically saying, you know what? We're not going to have this trash in our house. Because if we have this trash in our house, guess what? It's going to stink up the whole house. And what he says here is he says, get rid of all bitterness. What he is saying is remove negative emotions because they will be toxic. And you need to take it out to the street. You need to purposefully and intentionally get rid of it. Because he goes on to say this. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. By the way, okay, it's human to be angry. It's foolish to stay angry. Y'all write that one down. Okay? It's human to get angry, but it's foolish to stay angry because it leads to bitterness. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice. Wow. What he is saying is, if we don't, it will affect the words that we say to one another. Because here's what will happen. Your bitterness, my bitterness, will show up in what you say, how you say it, and who you say it to. And if you're going to be a builder, if you're going to build other people up, you cannot be bitter. You just can't be. You can't have bitterness in your heart and build other people up because your bitterness will seep through. It'll seep through your words. And it'll affect the content and the intent of everything that you say. And so we have to be able to remove all negative emotions and not let them remain in our heart. Why? Because for out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so words that demean, okay, we can't have that. We just can't have that. And you say, what do you mean by demean? When we say to people, you don't matter. We say that when we're angry, when we're full of malice, and when we're bitter. Or we can't degrade people. We can't use words that degrade people. And that is, you don't measure up. Well, what's God think of you? What does God think of me? Okay, he loves you and me. He accepts you and me. Or we can't disrespect and just say, I have no respect for you. Because here's the fact of the matter is, God has respect for all of us. God has respect for all of us. And so we have to remove all negative emotions. You know why? Because it'll kill you. You will begin to speak unwholesome, smelly, rotten fish and fruit words to one another, and it'll contaminate everything. And so what does that mean for us? It means this: bitterness requires forgiveness. Bitterness requires forgiveness. That's what it means. And so here's my question for us today. What's in your past that other people are paying for? Is it a parent relationship? You're bitter at your dad, you're bitter at your mother, you're bitter at your ex. And so people in your life today are paying for it. You see, that's why we have to remove all negative emotions. We've got to get rid of all of it. We've got to take it out to the curb and let it sit there. We have to forgive people. And so Paul says, get rid of all of it. And then he says this. He says, be kind. Be kind. Now that, again, being kind doesn't mean avoiding saying the hard things. But it's saying the hard things in the right way. That's being kind. And then he says this, be kind and compassionate to one another. And what he says here is this, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And so some of us need to dial it down. You ready for this? And others of us need to dial it up. Because if there's something that you need to say that's difficult and hard to a person to help them, and you're not saying it to them, you're neither kind nor compassionate. You're a coward. Because if you were kind and compassionate, you would say the hard thing in a kind way. Because you know that it would help them. Because our words not only affect us, our words affect the people around us. And so he says this, be kind and compassionate one to another. Ready for this? Forgiving each other. Oh my lands. Forgiving each other. How much? Here's what he says. Just as in Christ God forgave you. Wow. How much has God forgiven you? A whole bunch. And he says, okay, Dwight, here's what I need you to do. I need you to remove the negative emotions, and I need you to respond with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. What's he saying? He's giving us some straight talk, man. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, extend to others what God in Christ has extended to you. How would your marriage change if you extended to your spouse what God has extended to you? His kindness, his compassion, his forgiveness. How would your relationship change with your mom and dad if you extended to others what God has extended to you? If you would speak to others what God has spoken to you, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. How would your workplace change if you would extend to others what God has extended to you in Christ? How would your workplace change if you spoke to others what God in Christ has spoken over you? Can you imagine what would happen? What would happen if this became the norm? See, this is what Paul is after. And this would become the norm. And then when we would mess up, we would confess and own it. And we would say, uh-oh, you know what? I didn't respond with kindness, didn't respond with compassion, didn't respond with forgiveness. And so Paul wraps it up, this talk. It's very straight to those who claim to know Christ. He says, follow God's example, because this is how God treats you and I. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and has given himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Wow. So let me ask you two questions. Where do you have to work? Where do you have work to do? And who is hoping that you start today? Where do you have work to do? And who is hoping that you start today? I want us to conclude by reading this, what Paul has said. And I would encourage you to memorize it so that you will remember the teachings that you have received in Christ. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Would you pray with me? God, for those of us who claim to be followers of you, you've called us to live different, to be different, to relate differently, to speak differently. And we want to be able to do that. And so I pray for each and every one of us that we would renounce that old mindset, and that we would remember your teachings, and that we would not only remember your teachings, but that we would refuse to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, and that we would release only those words that build up and that are helpful for other people. Help us to remove any negative emotions from our hurts or from our pain from the past. And help us to respond always with kindness and compassion and forgiveness, because that's how you relate to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.